and their wisdom is phenomenal. And I'm looking for any requests that you might have, any particular groups of animals or any animal issues that you'd like us to tune into. Don't hesitate to call Scotty, let him know, send us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, and click on Contact Martha and send me an email with your requests. So next week, I'm really looking forward to already and very excited to have Robin back and to do this again. So there you go. All right, that wraps up current events. It also wraps up the second hour of Animal World. We're going to turn it around here. Cold weather tips one more time because the Farmer's Almanac says we're not done yet. I hope they're wrong this year. And then we will return more of Vet Sunday, and we're going to be talking Chinese medicine and particularly how it relates to vaccines and early spay and neuters. And of course, we're entertaining your phone calls at 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. Animal World continues until noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Martha Norwalk with Animal World's fall and winter tips for you and your animal friends. With the obvious change in our weather, getting colder and wetter, there are several things that pop into my mind that are important for you to think about related to your animal companions. The first is house training. There can be related problems at this time of year with both dogs and cats. Let's start with dogs. Many do not like to go outside in the rain or when it's cold. And do you really blame them? We don't like it much either. The biggest problem is usually the small breeds, younger pups and older dogs, particularly the spoiled and lazy models. But weather-sensitive dogs can be any breed, small or large, and they can even be created by their owners. Remember, dogs are monkey-see, monkey-doers, and they tend to copy our behavior. So if you're raising and educating a puppy in the house training department, most of you probably don't mind going outside with the pup to supervise and praise the good behavior when the weather is nice. But when the weather's bad, most of you are either very unhappy during the outing, or you don't go out at all and make the dog go out all by himself. Herein lies the problem. Dogs pick up and sense even subtle feelings from their people, and they may begin to associate going out in the rain or cold with bad feelings and not want to do it. If you make them go alone, they may not go all the way out in the yard. They'll hold it to deposit indoors when they come back inside. So think about this. When the weather is good, you go out with the dog, feeling happy and saying something like, "Oh boy, outside, let's go outside," and then go potty. Good go potty, good go potty. This is great, and the dog or pup learns to like going outside. But if the weather's bad and you have an attitude change, get grumpy, and on the way outside grumble something like, "Oh, yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I don't want to go outside, I hate this, come on, bozo, outside, go potty." Even if you're only thinking this, pretty soon, when the weather is bad, your dog will be thinking, "Yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I hate this, I don't want to go outside." And you will have created the problem. Now, this is easy to avoid. Keep this in mind when raising puppies or working with sensitive dogs. You can convince most dogs of anything if you have the right sales pitch. So the yuckier the weather is, the jollier you must be. "Oh boy, bozo, it's raining. Oh boy, let's go outside. Oh boy, oh boy." And act like you're going to the party of the year. You can even add a tasty little food reward. It must be given on the spot outside. This can make it even more positive. With medium to large breeds, this is usually only necessary during the house training process. Once the dogs get it, it sticks. But with small breeds and sensitive models, you may need to do a refresher course of outside and jollies in bad weather, and during the fall as the weather changes, to avoid a relapse in house training manners. Elderly and or invalid dogs may require this on a consistent basis. With all dogs, I think it just makes sense to have a wonderful dry-off and warm-up ritual after outings in the rain. Give them something to look forward to. And for seriously rain-sensitive dogs, they make doggy raincoats. Some even come with built-in hoods or umbrellas. Make a canine fashion statement in your neighborhood. And remember to tell your dog friend how fabulous they look. Now, let's talk about cats. They can be weather-sensitive also. Indoor-only models, not a problem. But indoor-outdoor models can have a problem, especially if you're used to a cat that always goes to the bathroom outside. The time may come when the weather is just too bad for them to be willing to go outside. So just in case, maintain an indoor cat box for emergencies. Also, cats that go through cat doors to boxes in garages or basements may not want to use them if it's too cold. Lastly, keep in mind that if your cat friend is older or has developed physical problems, they may feel too vulnerable to go outside, and an indoor cat box may be necessary. Next on my list is a reminder. If you are going to winterize your own car, please remember that antifreeze is extremely toxic and deadly for our animal friends, and it is also extremely attractive to them because it tastes very sweet. So be very careful with it, or better yet, use the non-toxic safe antifreeze. Another general tip, as the weather gets colder, if your animals spend extended periods of time outdoors, make sure they have dry and reasonably warm shelter and fresh, clean water, especially when temperatures drop below freezing. And dogs need regular exercise, even when it's cold or wet. Heck, so do we. So keep it up. Another interesting fact about this time of year is that all bodies, animals as well as humans, need more balanced omega fatty acids during cold weather to maintain good skin and hair coats. The easiest way to be sure your animal friends are getting enough is to add the Missing Link supplement by Designing Health to their food. The need for increased omega 3 and 6 oils in their diet increases even more as we turn the heat on in our houses because this can dry out their hair and skin. So avoid winter skin and coat problems with the Missing Link. Now, the last thing on my list is one of the most important, fleas. Even if your animals have been flea-free this summer, it's still important to pay attention now. As the weather gets colder, so do the fleas. Once the outdoor temperature drops consistently below 50 degrees, they cannot survive, so they'll be looking for a ride indoors. You'll need to prepare so they don't infest your home. If you have a problem with fleas this year and you want to get rid of them, now is the time to get serious. In either case, what you need to do is pretty simple. The best way to prevent an infestation from getting started or to eliminate an ongoing one is a safe, natural product called Fleego. Fleego is a powder that you sprinkle into the carpets and animals' bedding. It dehydrates fleas and their larvae, and it really worked. It's what I use to nip fleas in the bud in my environment. You can pick it up at almost any pet store, and fleas or not, keep Fleego on hand just in case like I do. Now, if you've got a current flea problem, once the Fleego is down, bathe and or spray your dogs and cats. You can get safe, natural sprays these days, then flea comb regularly until you're sure they are gone. And keep listening to Animal World, because next spring I'll tell you what to do so you don't have a flea problem next year. Well, that takes care of my list for now, but stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Is your dog unable to jump into the car or onto your bed? Has your cat stopped grooming because it hurts to twist? Joint discomfort can take the fun out of life. Connectin is the first joint supplement scientifically proven to show better mobility within 15 days. Yep, 15 days. Connectin contains joint building blocks, plus 9 natural herbs to support joint health. Connectin is gentle and effective. Make sure your pet is living a vibrant, active life with Connectin. Ask for Connectin at your natural pet store.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Well, it's the first Sunday of March, and it's a Vet Sunday. Dr. Mike Saluski's on with us today, and boy, we got a lot to cover. We've also got open phone lines, and we would love your animal medical care questions. And we are also giving away one more copy of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For. So lines are open, and if you would like to win that copy of the book, give us a call. Local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Alrighty then. So let's get back to business. Welcome back, Dr. Mike Saluski. Good morning again, Dr. Mike.
Good morning again.
And we've got a great question here to start off with. But before I get to that, I'm thinking that, you know, we'll be able to touch base on Chinese medicine somewhat in this hour. And, of course, we're going to talk about the two big subjects that are coming up. But I'm thinking maybe the next time you come on that we would maybe arrange, you know, you do a wonderful presentation on Chinese medicine. And I'm wondering that maybe you could just do a class for us on the air. Do you think we could work something like that out?
Oh, I'm sure we could.
Cool. All right. Well, before we get to any general stuff, we got to deal with specifics. Loretta called, such a common problem, and it's just perfect. I'm sorry that she has this problem, her dog does, but she has a 9-year-old German Shepherd, spayed female, and she apparently rescued or adopted this dog from Seattle Animal Shelter. And she's having a problem with the dog dribbling urine or leaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you talk to us about that?
Sure. Well, we'll go ahead and maybe get back into a little bit of the Chinese medicine.
Uh-huh.
There's a number of things that can happen with this, right?
Yeah.
When you're dribbling like that, typically you don't have a good tone in the urethral sphincter. So you get this dribbling, which course can then lead to vaginitis or bladder infections, that type of thing. A couple of things can cause that lack.
Now, would that be because like you said, the sphincters and stuff, there's not good tone, and so urine's leaking out? Are you implying then that stuff could also get back in, and that's why they might be more susceptible to infection and stuff?
That's exactly right.
Oh,
the sphincter acts like a barrier for what we call an ascending infection, meaning that the bacteria just kind of can start growing there on the surface of the skin and sort of walk their way if there's nothing to stop them, because the sphincter has a little bit of a gap in it to keep them from going up. So
yeah, that makes sense.
It's pretty common in animals that dribble that they might get recurrent infections.
Okay.
So you want to get that tone back. So you can have a number of things. Certainly, there are hormonal issues in spayed females that can lead to a decreased tone, and that's why sometimes dogs will get put on estrogen or they'll get put on BPA, which can tone things up too. You can have a chiropractic issue usually in the low back or the sacrum.
Okay, I'm just going to ask you about that, Mike, because I'm getting, since we're talking about Loretta's dog and I was tuning in, I'm getting a real specific pain in my body, and I'm feeling it. It's just below my mid-waist on the right side, and the pain, it feels really tight, and a pain that's going all the way down the right side of my spine down to the base.
You know, it's certainly possible. German Shepherds, especially because of their conformation, especially the American dogs, they do tend to develop a lot of degenerative disc disease, a lot of arthritis in their spine, and so they can get both painful conditions where a nerve might be, irritated and cause like a sciatica-type pain. But you can also have numbness occur, and that's not just going to be in the limbs, but it can occur to the nerves that are going through And so what I found is there are a number of different approaches. You know, sometimes a chiropractic will work in older, middle-aged to older dogs. Sometimes you've got enough of that arthritis there that the chiropractic isn't going to be enough. If I see a young dog that just had a trauma or is an athlete and is dribbling, then absolutely, you know, the chiropractic is maybe the first thing I try. In these older dogs, usually what I'll think about doing is both acupuncture and herbs. For because you can approach all these different things. If you've got nerve function issues, acupuncture works really well for that. If you've got general tone issues, the herbs work really well for that. The theory in Chinese medicine is that the qi of the bladder, basically, is the energy of the bladder, is lacking, and it's not able to hold the urine in, because that's part of its job. And so everything we do is to try to improve the qi of the bladder and secondarily of the kidney to help with all of that. And so it's very effective. I think that urinary incontinence, especially urinary incontinence that is just a dribbling aspect, you can do wonders with acupuncture and herbs.
So is it fair to say that with a dog with dribbling urine, it's always good to do a chiropractic adjustment, or at least a chiropractic evaluation to see if there are something out of alignment?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I always evaluate them for both nerve function and for chiropractic issues, and take my treatment on what I find.
And then it sounds like you then treat, if necessary, something more is necessary besides the chiropractic adjustment, you treat with an acupuncture combined with herbal therapy.
Yeah, usually, and a lot of times, once you get the incontinence taken care of, you really don't need to do acupuncture that frequently. You can just do some herbs. And sometimes some dogs will need to be on herbs for a fair length of time, and sometimes the rest of their lives. But, it's better than having urine leaking everywhere.
Yeah. Now, traditional veterinary medicine, I think, tends to just write this off as hormonal.
Yeah.
And then they give a specific drug or medication, and it's PP something.
Yeah, PPA.
PPA.
Can
you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're trying to increase the tone of the bladder and of the sphincter, and it works sometimes. Sometimes you'll have dogs that don't do well as far as side effects go.
What is the PPA?
The propionate. I can't even.
But I mean, is it some kind of drug or a hormone or?
Yeah, it's basically a drug that helps with that sphincter tone.
Okay. But you started to mention side effects.
Yeah, I've seen dogs that have gotten kind of wired and anxious on it. It's probably the most common thing that I'll see.
Okay. But it doesn't sound like, just giving the drug doesn't sound like it covers near the bases that, like, you would cover with.
Well, it's something to help with, certainly the symptom, but with any holistic therapy, you're working on, you're working on a holistic and trying to balance out the body, basically. So, I think it does a better job, honestly, than the PPA usually.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, in the 20 years that I worked in veterinary medicine, holistic veterinary medicine, and certainly veterinarians practicing Chinese medicine didn't exist at that time. And I did work at, some of the most respected traditional veterinary practices in the area. And it was just common practice. We always, we just would say, well, spayed females tend to leak urine when they get older, and you give them this drug. but most of the time it worked, but for some patients it didn't.
I think that that's one of the things where if you ascribe one reason for every type of incontinence, sometimes you get really frustrated. So like in Chinese medicine, we look at incontinence in a couple of different ways. If you've got enuresis or just incontinence that occurs while an animal's sleeping, that's a different pattern than dribbling.
Okay, that's a real good point, because Loretta specifically said dribbling, Scotty, didn't she? Dribbling and leaking, because that's true. I've said a lot of these dogs, you know, they wake up from sleeping and there's a puddle on their bed, or so
right.
It does. Yeah. So is that a different thing?
That's a different thing. The incontinence from like a dog that pees on the floor when it gets excited when you come home is considered a different pattern. Dogs that will go out and pee then they finish their urine stream, and as they walk away, they still dribble. The different type of incontinence and urge incontinence, where a dog knows that they have to go to the bathroom but can't make it to the door in time, versus a dog that doesn't seem to be aware at all. They just urinate. All of those are different patterns in Chinese medicine. We're going to use different herbs and different herbal formulas and different acupuncture points.
Wow, that's fascinating, because traditional veterinary medicine wouldn't make a distinction between a lot of those.
Yeah, it's not the only distinction they would make is if you've got incontinence due to an infection.
Yeah, huh. So it sounds like by practicing Chinese medicine, it allows you to get really specific about the individual and the particular symptoms or signs that they are showing.
Exactly right.
Huh. A leaky dribbling situation you would treat differently than a bladder that empties during sleep. And did you say you would handle that? It wouldn't a different acupressure, different acupressure, acupuncture pattern, as well as different herbs?
Yes, correct.
Oh, wow, boy. Yeah, who knew there was that? So, boy, folks, it's just not a one size fits all anymore.
No, and that's what I like about the Chinese medicine, is that you treat every case as an individual. You don't define them by their disease. You define them by their individual, you know, differences. And that makes it, I think, you know, both more fun to treat, but also more effective in a lot of respects.
Well, and when you are examining a patient from a Chinese medicine perspective, you look at a lot of things that aren't even considered in traditional medicine. So, what kind of things do you look for when you're a first time patient is presenting to you?
Well, you know, certainly the history is very important, and there may be some parts of the history that some people may not even think as being necessary. So, if you've got a dog that is coming to you for a behavioral problem, and yet they've always kind of battled with skin issues or some bowel issues, well, that's going to be really important to the Chinese doctor, because we're it's a holistic therapy. We want to try to figure out, you know, everything is going to affect everything else. So we want to balance the entire body, not just suppress a symptom. You know, we don't want to just treat the behavior. We want to treat everything and make basically get an animal in balance. So probably the biggest difference in, you know, a Chinese exam versus a Western medical exam is going to be that we look very closely at the tongue and we feel the pulse very closely.
You said you look very closely at the tongue?
Yes, that's a big part of the Chinese exam.
Really, the tongue?
Yeah.
What do you look at there?
Well, you know how that expression, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in Chinese medicine, it's kind of like the tongue. What we're looking at is...
The tongue is the window to the body?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's said to be very important in Chinese medicine, and of course, most of the textbooks that, are written on tongue examination are based on the human tongue, and dogs' tongues are a little bit different. Horse tongues are even more different than that. But we still can take the basic concepts and we look at the size of the tongue in the mouth, if it's proportional or not, the color of the tongue, you know, whether it's a nice healthy pink or whether it's purplish or red, the coating on the tongue.
I was going to say, do you look at the coating on the tongue? Okay.
Yeah, all of that. But when you think about it, you know, you've got to, as a veterinarian, we've got different breeds and stuff that are going to be very different. You know, a Newfoundland tongue is going to be, you know, very wide and floppy and wet. And but if you saw that same type of tongue in the mouth of a beagle, it would be, you know, very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So we take into that account, too. And then with the pulse, we're feeling for not just the pulse rate, but we're kind of how the vein feels or the artery feels under your fingers, and the impulse of that pulse. It might have different characteristics in different animals. And, so we get a lot of...
Yeah, because most of us would think, well, you know, when you're thinking of taking your pulse, you put your finger over your wrist,
right,
or over on your throat to feel your pulse. But I think most people would think a pulse is a pulse. But
right,
are you saying that, and I would imagine this takes some experience and training, but that when you feel an animal's pulse, you actually evaluate that pulse and feel different things, huh?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. You know, and in human medicine, it's even more evolved. And when you at the wrist, when you take a human pulse at the wrist in Chinese medicine, you've got your fingers on three different acupuncture points, and depending on how that pulse might feel at each point, it's going to, and on each side of the body, it gives you even more detailed information. There are textbooks written on the pulse and the different qualities of the pulse. We don't have that luxury in animals, because we're not able to take the pulse at the specific acupuncture point. So in dogs, for instance, we take the pulse at the femoral artery and the thigh.
Uh-huh.
But you still can feel a lot of different things. The quality of the pulse probably being the most important, and that's sort of the how it feels under your fingers feeling. We describe pulses as slippery or wiry or thready or choppy, and lots of different definitions that might mean different things as opposed to how the energy is flowing through the body, if there's an obstruction somewhere, if there's a deficiency somewhere. And we take all of that together with the physical exam and the history and figure out what's the imbalance in the body and then how we're going to correct it.
Well, you know, the more we talk I talk to you about, you know, the Chinese medicine procedures, the more I talk with, you know, our holistic veterinarians, it becomes very, very clear that one of the biggest distinctions between, you know, Chinese or general holistic veterinary medicine as opposed to traditional is that you all spend a whole lot more time with the history of the animal and getting to know the individual animal and what's going on, rather than just, you know, slam, bam, in and out, what the symptoms, give them a treatment.
I think that's true. I think that it comes down to whether you're treating an individual or whether you're treating a label. I mean, that sounds maybe a little too callous, but, you know, if you diagnose in Western medicine, you know, every dog with... you know, epilepsy, you know, is probably going to be given the same treatment. Every dog with diarrhea might be given a very similar type of treatment. And you're treating the diarrhea, you're treating the seizures, whereas in Chinese medicine, you're treating the individual, you know, and you're treating that collection of everything, not just seizures, not just itchiness, not just diarrhea. You're trying to treat the whole animal and balance everything out.
Yeah, I'm remembering a vet we had on Vet Sundays. Now, this was back when Dr. Al Pluckner was doing the show on a regular basis. And this was a young vet out of the Midwest somewhere who had really gotten fascinated with his work and was doing a lot with it. And so he joined us on Vet Sunday a few times. But as we were getting to know him on the air, because he sounded really sharp and very knowledgeable, a lot of experience, and he was treating all kinds of animals. But then on one show, I asked him how many patients he saw a day or something. And I can't believe that I'm remembering this correctly, but I think he told us something like 75 patients a day or something. And
wow.
I about fell off my chair, because I don't care how good this guy is, there is no way anyone could do a decent job. I mean, I can't fathom I was like, whoa, well, and of course, he didn't last that long, so. But I can't imagine, you know, that. Well, I call those, and the term that I've always heard is like firehouse practice, you know, it's like, how many can you see? And he was so proud of how many patients he was seeing a day and what a great job he was doing. I just don't think that's possible, but.
It's tough to really, I think, get to the bottom. And again, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, it's, you know, if you're doing just sort of your standard Western practice, you know, where they're just kind of coming in and out, and boom, and you've got a technician draw blood. And a lot of times the veterinarian's not even in the room for that particular law. And, you know, so you do, you can move a lot of animals through practice that way.
Yeah, I also heard just another horrendous story this week from a client I was working with, you know, for behavior problems with her dogs, and she told me a story of taking her dog into a local vet here that and the dog had a swollen lymph node. Mm-hmm. And the dog's a nice golden, easy to work with. The vet took the dog out of the room, didn't tell the client why, and she thought, well, maybe it just needs better light to look at it or something, brought the dog back in, had given the dog, had gone ahead and given the treatment, and had given a short-term and a long-acting cortisone injection. Without telling the client, without, you know, explaining, without asking permission. Anyway, apparently the dog was real sick and had major problems for a long time afterwards. So that being just popping into my head here, folks, make sure that you know what's going on with your animals when you go to the veterinary hospital. And if they just go to take them out of the room, find out why.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty shocking. And then, of course, with these cases of, you come back, and a part of what bothers me is when mistakes are made now in medicine, I mean, even with humans and with animals, it's rare that the doctor will acknowledge that there was any kind of mistake.
Yeah, which is a real shame.
Because, it really is. Like this, you know, the cat I told you about that they did the surgery and it wasn't a foreign body blockage, it was just constipated. Well, the cat just took a real turn for the worse, got horrible, was on death's doorstep. They said they had to put in a feeding tube. So they anesthetized the cat, put in the feeding tube, told the owner everything was okay, take it home. The cat got worse, kept vomiting, all of that, and brought the cat back. A technician x-rayed the cat and said, oh, well, the feeding tube's fine. It's right in the stomach where it's supposed to be. Well, the client had done a lot of research on feeding tubes in cats and knew that it was not supposed to be in the stomach, that was a problem. Well, then when the vet came in and saw the x-ray, said, oh, God, we got to get it out of the stomach. Well, this cat, it was several months before the owner was able to bring this cat through this whole experience. And not, needless to say, she's not going back to the same veterinary hospital because never in the process did the vets ever acknowledge that they had a part in the problems this cat was having. And it would have been so nice for the owner to have at least heard from them that they were sorry.
Sure, you know, or at least, you know, it's in all of these things that you talk about, it comes down to communication, right?
Sure.
If you tell them why you're doing stuff, I mean, just because it's not a foreign body obstruction doesn't mean you don't need surgery to get it out. You know, we see that in horses all the time. They'll get impactions, food impactions, that you know, you try to get them out with laxatives and fluids and et cetera. Some of them are just so hard in there that they need to come out surgically.
Uh-huh.
You know, but so sometimes it doesn't have to be foreign body to require surgery, but it comes down, like I said, to communication every step along the way, saying, well, this is what we think we need to do and this is why we think we need to do it, blah, blah, blah. And that, I think, helps a lot, you know, to same thing with that golden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you can just say, well, this is what we'd like to do because we think this is the best course of action. Now, maybe it wouldn't be. Maybe you take a course of action and you wind up saying, okay, well, that didn't work. Let's try this. But as long as everybody's on the same page and what we're going to try next, and this is why we're going to try next, and this is why we think it's the best way to go. But usually, even if things go wrong, at least you kind of knew why you were doing it.
Yeah.
It can go wrong even in the best of circumstances.
Right, and it gives you a chance to explain that this may happen, this may happen, this may not happen,
right,
or whatever. And I suspect that the reason a lot of vets are not honest with their clients when mistakes happen is because of the whole lawsuit business. And they kind of get advised that you can't admit you did anything wrong or made a mistake because you're going to get sued. And I think the opposite is the case. If you tell the truth, you're less likely to get sued, but maybe not. I
think that's true, too. And I do think that there is another issue out there that is maybe not the main cause, but I've certainly seen it happen, where you kind of get this sort of a doctor holier than thou attitude, where because we've got DVM after our name, that your owner couldn't possibly understand what's going on with the animal, which is ridiculous.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
So many people are educated about their pet's health, are invested in their pet's health, and take the time to read and have no problem if you give them a website or explain to them in detail what's going on, and explain, like we talked about the Chinese medicine. No idea what I was talking about, but if you kind of back up and explain it in just regular terms, it makes a lot of sense. And so I think you get that, too, where sometimes the owners are just not given the due respect that they should have.
Well, right, and you do get that holier-than-thou attitude sometimes. I'm the doctor, how dare you question me?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, folks, you run into that, you say thank you very much and turn around, walk out the door. I want to say that we have given away the final copy today of Foods Pets Die For, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, but I would say Christia, because there's a double L in there and the Spanish in me. So if that's not correct, I'm sorry. But Christia, anyway, she has a question for you, Dr. Mike. She has an 8-year-old adopted dog that has been wheezing. And said she's hearing kind of a congestion in the lungs, it sounds like, and wants to know what you might recommend.
Well, gosh.
They're pretty general. Christia, we may need you to call back with some more details. Scotty's not in his head, said I tried to keep it. We get these folks that are just too shy to talk on the air.
You bet.
But an 8-year-old dog wheezing, I mean, we have to kind of assume that this must be something that is just, is this a new thing, Scotty, did she say, or has it been ongoing? It's ongoing. So this is a wheezing dog chronically, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, there could be so many things going on. Honestly, the first thing that you would probably want to do would be to get some lung x-rays.
A lung x-ray? Mm.
Start there. And get the dog examined so that the heart and the lungs can be listened to, because it could be coming from the lung itself, it could be coming from the bronchioles, it could be coming from the larynx, it could be coming from a heart condition that's been so far undiagnosed. And those all sound super serious, and it may not be something as mild as just a little bit of bronchial spasm type of an asthma type of thing. But you need to just make sure it's not something more serious and kind of go from there. Eliminate the real awful things that could be going on and hopefully just deal with something that's...
Yeah, so a vet with a stethoscope to listen would be good. You said perhaps a lung x-ray, but you mentioned asthma. Do dogs get asthma? Like humans?
Not as commonly as cats. Cats are very common.
Oh, cats? Okay.
Yeah, but you can still get sort of a bronchial spasm type of symptom that maybe we wouldn't truly call an asthmatic condition, but you can get stuff like that, an allergy-related thing that can cause wheezing. Wheezing, what I think of wheezing, the typical wheezing is usually a problem when they exhale, and it's usually a sound that's produced because you've got some constriction in the bronchial tubes, and that can come from either a spasm, like what happens in an asthma condition, or it can come from old age changes that occur in the bronchial tubes, or it can come from chronic infection and other diseases like that. So a lot of things can create that sound, which is why you'd want to get it checked out.
All right. Well, Christia, if you're still listening, I'm sure you are, but if you can pull up your big girl pants and be brave enough to talk on the air, there is time for you to call us back, and we could put you on the air here with Dr. Mike if you, you know, want to give us some more particulars. He may be able to be more specific, but without any more information, I think that's the best that, Dr. Mike can do for you. And we don't have a lot of time left, but we do have room for another phone call or two if you'd like to give us a call at 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. I do want to mention a couple of things, Dr. Mike, just because we were, you know, talking about the Chinese medicine thing, and I'm already getting excited about maybe doing like a Chinese medicine 101 on the air. A little classroom situation would be great. But I'm getting more comfortable. The more I hear you talk about Chinese medicine and what you do, the more comfortable I become in understanding. So hopefully that's happening for everybody else as well. Vaccinations have become a real controversial issue in terms of us over-vaccinating and too many kinds of vaccines and too often and all of that. Now, how does the concept of vaccinations fit into the world of Chinese medicine?
Well, I guess, you know, technically, you know, it's not something that was developed in the Chinese medicine system, system.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, vaccines work, and vaccines prevent a lot of disease and are in general, a good thing. The mm-hmm. over-vaccination is a problem. And that is where, you can put conventional or Western medicines and Western types of treatment, you know, in the Chinese system. So, if we look at a vaccine, in that you're putting basically what we would consider a very, you know, inactive or mild form of a virus into the system. Well, when you get a virus into your body naturally, the Chinese typically consider that a heat toxin. And depending on how severe it is, you tend to get a fever, you know, right? You're going to mm-hmm. get warmth and that symptom of in the body. You might sweat, you know, you might get, you know, problems like that going on. Well, in a similar fashion, you're putting that into the body in a minute amount to get a good response. With over-vaccination, I think that what you tend to get is sort of an excessive amount of, again, what we would call transmissibility. Toxin in the body, and mm-hmm. what you tend to do is then start to see diseases that are diseases that we think of as autoimmune diseases, you know, in the body. In particular, skin things, you know, allergy type things, inflammatory bowel disease, sometimes a polyarthritis or an immune-mediated arthritis that might come about because of over-vaccinating a young dog. Or sometimes if you've got a dog with those problems, a vaccine can kind of make them worse. You know, they're getting their annual vaccine. And so, you know, my feeling on vaccines in general is that they're extremely helpful in preventing disease and for the health of your pet. But you've got to be, I think, smart in how you approach them. You want to give them strategically in a young animal, maybe not give everything all at once, face them appropriately, start them appropriately. You know, you don't need to get, you know, 5 booster shots to get good vaccine coverage. And then as the animal gets older, you know, they're saying now they're going to an every 3-year program. Well, that means you may still not need even that much.
Right.
You may be able to go 5 years. Maybe it'll go, you know, you may be able to get lifetime protection in some of these vaccines. We just aren't sure because very few people take really good titers.
And right. Well, that's what I've been doing with my animals. All of the animals I've had for a number of years now. If some of them have come already vaccinated to me, and if that's the case, then I never vaccinate them again. All my present animals were all vaccinated before I got them. And as kittens and puppies, they've not had any vaccines since. My latest, Sophie Sweet Cheeks, she had basic core vaccines, 2. Half doses because she's a kitten and anyway, and she's not going to have any again. I'm comfortable with that. So,
sure.
I just realized that I totally spaced my job here today, and that, of course, is we need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors this hour before we run out of time. And Christia has showed up, so she can tell me if I'm pronouncing her name right. We'll get some more details on this wheezing dog, see if we can't help. So stay with us, advertisers and sponsors, and then the wheezing dog is next, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, you go to their website, Jones & companypets.com, find out everything that's on sale, and I can tell you a few things that they're highlighting at this time. Great deal on Merrick bones and chews. If you purchase three chews at the regular price, you'll get one more bone or chew for free. And they've got Dog's Well chicken breast and duck treats on sale. So, and also remember, when you do go to Jones & Company, be sure and join their preferred customer club. You get a little card, keeps track of what you spend. You get discounts along the way, and free food, dry and canned. So, woohoo. Check them out, Jones & Company Pets. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call into Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for your free on-air readings. Robin uses her ability as a karma specialist, medical intuitive, and metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She's a medium who can talk to your spirit guides and angels. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage, now celebrating their 10th anniversary. The Northwest School of Animal Massage is offering a full schedule of classes in March, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy. Go to NWSAM.com for registration details. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703. Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and great anniversary deals.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
The Spirit Weight, a tribute, a treasure, a timeless reminder of a beloved pet or person no longer with us. Spirit Weights are stunning, egg-shaped art glass memorials, hand-blown and signed by Mark Boutte in his Camino Island glass studio. Spirit Weights are beautifully crafted with hollow centers to hold a small amount of cremation ashes, sealed forever in a timeless glass memorial. Go to spiritweight.com to read about Spirit, the inspiration, see design options, and get a Spirit Weight order form. The Spirit Weight, a unique, distinctive, and beautiful blown glass memorial.
The Gary Mance Show, it's the home of mastery and mystery.
Mance and Mitchell welcomes the transformational superstar from the movie What the Bleep, Dr. Joe Dispenza, at 10 a.m. Saturday.
Heidi Harrison follows at 11 a.m. to discuss the psychic connection of twins and their special relationship.
Then Joe Rombolo, the Sage of St. Louis, is back with ideas on how to achieve a spring cleaning for your soul.
That's Mance and Mitchell in the morning, Saturday at 10, followed by The Gary Mance Show at 11 a.m. Pacific.
Passato's Safe Haven rescues and rehabilitates dogs, cats, and farm animals that may not have another chance. Roxy is a shy tabby with a short, crooked tail and a big heart. Once she warms up to you, she loves to cuddle. Roxy is looking for an understanding owner who will help her feel like a beloved member of their family. Please consider adopting one of Passato's Safe Haven's rescued animals or making a donation. For more information, visit PassadoSafeHaven.org. That's PassadoSafeHaven.org. Or call 360-793-9393. That's 360-793-9393.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Dr. Mike Salewski is with us here for Vet Sunday. Good morning, Dr. Mike, again. Well, it's almost afternoon.
Yes, absolutely. Good morning.
And in keeping with tradition, the show gets really busy in the last half hour here. Of course, we don't have a lot of time. So a quick question, call before we get to Christia. Caller wants to know if soup bones are okay for her dog. My answer to that would be just generally, raw bones good, cooked bones bad. What do you think, Dr. Mike?
That's absolutely the case. So, because cooked bones will splinter and can cause problems. Raw bones, they're usually able to just gnaw them down and actually do, I think, a really good form.
Yeah, raw meaty bones are really good. Cooked bones, not good. Now, so when the caller said soup bones, that implies they've been cooked in soup, wouldn't you think?
I don't know. Sometimes you can buy, you know.
Yeah, if you buy a raw soup bone, if it's a raw soup bone, you're okay. If it's already been cooked in the soup, it's not okay. All right, that makes sense. Okay, let's go to, we'll find out how I did with the name. Christia, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Martha and Dr. Mike.
Yes.
Did I get your name right?
No, it's actually Priscilla with a P.
Oh, Priscilla. Oh, okay,
yeah.
So we'll blame Scotty on this one. He's got a cold. He can't hear very well.
Yeah, that's what I heard you say earlier, so that's fine. I understand.
Okay, so Priscilla, Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
And all right, so what would you like to know, Dr. Mike, about this wheezing dog?
Well, basically, I'd like to know kind of, you know, what it sounds like. Is there also coughing involved? Is there any discharge from the nose? Does your dog have problems with stamina or exercise? You know, how's it affecting him? That type of stuff.
No, she doesn't have any discharge from the nose. She doesn't cough. It's basically wheezing, and it started when I rescued her in August. I took her to the vets, and they discovered she had a heart murmur.
Uh-huh.
On a scale of 1 to 6. She had a 3.
Okay.
And so I exercised her, and because she was a pound overweight, and so I've been walking and exercising her, and I let her off at the park and let her run. I shouldn't, but I let her run. And so she's lost a half a pound. I'm feeding her a raw diet of the protein and meat and the vegetables and some rice, kind of equally distributed. But
right.
She, it's gotten worse.
Now, is the wheezing, is she wheezing all the time, or when she's after
just,
she's run or worked hard?
I don't notice that. It's basically when I lay down on the Davenport in the evening,
okay,
and she lays next to me, and
okay,
I can hear it, and it's gotten louder.
Okay, it's like when she's inhaling or exhaling, or do you know that?
I can't figure that out. It's just loud.
Sure,
But that's the time you're aware of it, is in the evening when she's laying next to you.
Mm-hmm. Or if I pick her up, she gets excited, and I pick her up, and she's kind of jumping around for maybe 5-10 seconds, and I pick her up, and then, yes, she's breathing pretty heavily then, but I don't so much hear a wheeze then.
Okay. So what breed is she, basically?
I'm sorry, what?
What breed of dog is she, basically?
She's a teacup miniature schnauzer, and I think she's got a little Yorkie in her.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you could have a little bit, maybe, of some tracheal collapse going on in that. And certainly, a great breed murmur is not terrible, but one of the things that we find is that grading the murmur sometimes is not an indication of, you know, just how much it's affecting the dog. So has she had any chest x-rays or anything like that?
No, she has not. You know, and yep. I was thinking when you said that with the the throat. She wants to run when I have her on the leash before we get to the park, and so I went and purchased a new halter type that alleviates that pressure on the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So that might have something, and it didn't dawn on me, that might have something to do with it. But anyway, she's only had this new halter for less than a month.
Okay, and was she not doing it before then?
Running?
No, was she not doing the wheezing before?
Not as much. I didn't notice it as chronic as it is now. It seems like it's accelerated.
Yeah, I would say, just in my experience over the years, a dog that pulls strong on the collar, that usually, in my experience, causes maybe a cough or something at the time.
Oh, no, I don't.
But I don't, laying down next to you at night in a wheezing, I don't know that I could attribute a pulling on the collar to that, Mike. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't sound like it. I keep going back to, there are a lot of variables here that, you know, could be the reason. And you know you've got some degree of a cardiac issue just because of the fact that you've got a murmur. So, again, a grade 3 is nothing that usually is a huge problem. But, you know, you can wind up certainly with some cardiovascular problems. Sometimes those heart problems that are caused by the heart in particular will show up when a dog is resting, and fluid can build up and that type of thing. Now, again, that usually you're going to see a cough with that, not the wheezing. But I would really go get some lung x-rays and at least eliminate the more serious things. And if you've got, say, some changes in the trachea or the bronchioles, the most common thing is that they can get calcified. Most of the time, your trachea and your bronchioles are going to be all cartilage. As dogs age, you'll get a little bit more calcium deposited in those tracheal rings, and they become stiffer, and so they don't open as easily as they did in a younger animal, and you can get a little bit more respiratory noise, or you can get a little bit of collapsing trachea, or a little laryngeal paralysis will happen sometimes too, where up at the top of the back of the throat or the top of the respiratory areas, you may not be getting as big of an opening because the larynx is not opening well because of paralysis. But I would get that checked out and see what might be going on there, just so you don't run into a more significant problem.
Yeah. And so, Priscilla, that's about all we have time for. And next Vet Sunday we do, you guys, you got to be brave enough to call in earlier so we can spend as much time as we need. The other thing I would suggest, Priscilla, in between now and whenever you can arrange to do that chest x-ray, I would start paying more attention to your dog, because you notice it at night when you lay down with her next to you on the couch. Well, spend some time just sitting with her during the day or standing with her to see if you hear the same thing at other times or if it's only when she's laying down. Wouldn't that make a difference, Mike?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So pay more attention, Priscilla.
Okay.
All right. And that's all we got time for. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. Let us know what you find out. All righty. Well, boy, that is about all the time we have. Dr. Mike Saluski from Hindsight Care in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. And thank you for sending some sunshine up here, Dr. Mike. We've got some now.
Oh, good for you.
Doesn't sound like it's as lovely as it is down there, but at least the sun is out here. Now, if you would like to get a hold of Dr. Mike, you can reach him through his website, hindsightcare.com. You can call him for a phone consultation or an appointment down in Oregon at 503-508-5738. That's 503-508-5738. Or you can see him at Sumner Veterinary Hospital every other Monday. You can call them at 253-863-2258. Dr. Mike, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll look forward to a Chinese medicine class coming up.
That sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Mike.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, you guys, we are done. I've got to let you know that the regular live show that usually happens after Animal World is preempted today. Because what are we doing? Some kind of Husky something, huh?
University of Washington women's basketball.
Yeah, okay. So go girls. Yeah. Husky basketball is happening. The Filipino show.
The Filipino-American show will air next Sunday.
Next Sunday, as usual.
12 to 2.
Okay. And thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Val. Gary's back next week. Mm-hmm. And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.